Welcome to the White Paper. This isn't just another tech podcast. This is where we pull back the curtain on emerging technology and blockchain, where we don't just talk about the future, we break it down before it happens. I'm your host, Nicklin Decker, a venture capitalist out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But before that, I was the guy in the shadows investigating corporate fraud, embezzlement, and intellectual property theft for Fortune 500 companies. For over 17 years, I tracked hidden assets, exposed fraud rings, and worked alongside federal agencies, district attorneys, vice units, and more, all in the pursuit of the truth. And that's what this podcast is about, truth. In the White Paper, we cut through all the noise, break down blockchain, and make sense of the tech that's changing our world. No jargon, no hype, just real conversations about how emerging technology is impacting business, finance, and everyday life. I'm here to bring clarity where there's confusion and to speak in plain truth, because in Oklahoma, we say what we mean and we mean what we say. So buckle up. The future's coming fast. Let's make sense of it together. Welcome back to the White Paper. I'm your host, Nicklin Decker. Today, we are examining a doctrine that speaks to the very architecture of how the United States government endures stress, absorbs crisis, and preserves continuity. It is a doctrine that explains why our federal agencies are distinct, why their boundaries exist, and why those boundaries matter, and why constitutional security is inseparable from national security. This is the Structural Silo Doctrine, the third installment in the Republic's Conscience series, and the companion to the Interagency Integrity Doctrine. Together, these works address a truth every administration eventually confronts. A president cannot govern a nation through fractured signals. When statutory drafting blurs agency lines, collapses missions, and fuses authorities that were never meant to overlap, the result is not simply bureaucratic confusion. It is the slow erosion of the decision architecture upon which the executive depends. Every president, regardless of party or era, relies on one thing above all: clear, domain-specific, non-contradictory information from the government they lead. When Congress inadvertently creates overlapping jurisdictions or ambiguous mandates, the executive is forced to reconcile contradictions it was never designed to resolve. What begins as unclear legislation becomes operational noise. Noise that reaches the Situation Room, the intelligence brief, the NSC table, and ultimately, the Oval Office. And at that point, ambiguity is no longer a drafting defect. It is a continuity of government risk. The Structural Silo Doctrine confronts this failure pathway directly. It sets forth a constitutional, statutory, and systems architecture framework demonstrating that agency separation is not bureaucratic inconvenience. It is the intra-executive analog to separation of powers itself. By restoring clarity to the design of federal authority, the doctrine restores the conditions under which the president, and thus the republic, can function coherently. For years, public commentators, think tanks, and even some within government have spoken about silos as if they were inefficiencies, organizational leftovers from an older era of governance. But the Structural Silo Doctrine reveals something the public conversation has missed. These silos are not flaws. They are part of the constitutional machinery. They are designed to do three things. They protect specialization. Each agency develops deep expertise in one mission domain, not many. They preserve clarity. Each statutory mandate is supposed to live in one institutional home, not several. And most importantly, they shield the president from information chaos. A president can only govern effectively if the signals arriving at the Oval Office are coherent, non-contradictory, and domain pure. When Congress collapses these boundaries, most often by drafting statutes that are vague, overlapping, or internally inconsistent, two predictable failures emerge. First, agencies begin interpreting the same statute differently, Their outputs diverge. Their models and assumptions no longer align. What should be a unified federal action becomes a fractured landscape of incompatible interpretations. Second, those contradictions rise to the president. And instead of executing the law, the president is forced to interpret the law, a responsibility that belongs exclusively to the judicial branch under Article 3. This inversion is the root of structural failure. It transforms the executive from an implementer of policy into an adjudicator of unresolved legislative ambiguity. And under stress, especially national security stress, this failure pathway does not remain theoretical. Continuity of government stress does not begin in crisis rooms. It begins in drafting rooms. When statutory clarity erodes, the entire decision architecture of the executive branch begins to destabilize. The structural silo doctrine brings a name, a diagnosis, and a constitutional framework to this long unacknowledged problem. The structural silo doctrine is not built on new technology. It is rooted in the constitutional principles the Supreme Court has affirmed for more than two centuries. Marbury versus Madison tells us that the law must speak with clarity. If the law does not define boundaries, government cannot function within them. Hampton and Schechter Poultry established that when Congress delegates authority, it must also define the limits of that authority. Delegation requires boundaries. West Virginia versus EPA reaffirmed this principle for the modern age. Agencies cannot expand their mandates beyond the text Congress actually wrote. Celia Law made clear that no president can supervise an executive function unless that function is structurally coherent. Ambiguity at the agency level becomes ungovernability at the presidential level. And in Loper-Bright, the court declared that the era of deferring to vague statutes is over. If Congress is unclear, agencies may not fill the gaps, and courts may not rescue the statute. Across all these cases, one truth emerges. Statutory clarity is not optional. It is constitutional. Ambiguous or overlapping authority doesn't just create bureaucratic confusion. It violates Article 1 by allowing agencies, not Congress, to define the scope of federal power. And it violates Article 2 by forcing the president to reconcile contradictions born in the legislative branch. SSD captures this constitutional through line and names what has long been visible, but unnamed. When congressional text collapses boundaries, the constitutional structure collapses with it. In the doctrine, this breakdown is mapped visually in Figure 1.2, the failure pathway. It shows step by step how a structural flaw in legislation becomes a national security vulnerability. It begins with something deceptively simple, an ambiguous statute. From there, the cascade is almost inevitable. Agencies interpret the same text differently. Their internal grammars collide, what SSD calls semantic collision. Those contradictions propagate upward through the bureaucracy. They reach the White House not as a unified briefing, but as competing and incompatible versions of reality. And when the president must make decisions based on incoherent input, something deeper is at risk. Continuity of government. This pattern is not hypothetical. The 9/11 Commission documented it with painful clarity. Signals were blinking red everywhere, but they were incoherent. SSD explains why this incoherence emerges and identifies the structural mechanism behind it. More importantly, it shows how to prevent it at the point where failure is born, statutory design. When Congress writes clearly, agencies operate coherently, the president receives unified counsel, and the republic remains stable. When Congress writes ambiguously, the structure falters long before any crisis arrives. The structural silo doctrine introduces three analytical tools, each designed to help Congress, agencies, and national security leaders measure what has historically been invisible. These metrics convert constitutional theory into operational clarity. One, the Institutional Boundary Integrity Test, IBIT. IBIT is a constitutional diagnostic. It evaluates whether a statute protects an agency's functional identity or erodes it. When Congress unintentionally merges missions, collapses jurisdictions, or assigns overlapping authority, IBIT identifies the breach before it becomes operational failure. 2. The Continuity Burden Index, CBI. CBI quantifies something no doctrine has measured before: how legislative ambiguity increases the cognitive and operational load on the president. When CBI crosses its defined threshold, SSD designates this moment as a formal continuity of government risk event. This is where statutory drafting becomes national security. 3. The Structural Fusion Risk Model, SFRM. SFRM exposes where poorly drafted statutes produce hybrid mandates, responsibilities that do not constitutionally belong to any single agency and cannot be supervised coherently under Article 2. These hybrid zones are where regulatory coordination breaks down and where crisis response failure modes become foreseeable. Together, these metrics form the analytical engine of SSD. They allow Congress to draft with precision, agencies to operate with clarity, and the White House to receive coherent input during moments when clarity is not optional. SSD gives the federal government something it has never had before: a measurable framework for constitutional coherence. One of the most important insights in the structural silo doctrine is this: at the top of the executive branch, the president functions as a communication node, not a researcher, not an analyst, but the final point of synthesis. And with the role comes a constitutional reality. The president does not need more information. The president needs coherent information. Every national security professional understands this intuitively. You do not walk into the Oval Office with competing data streams, unresolved interagency disputes, or contradictory interpretations of statute. You brief a president with unity, a single synthesized picture of the threat, the law, and the available options. But SSD reveals the structural consequence of ambiguous legislation. When Congress collapses or blurs agency boundaries, the president begins receiving inputs that cannot be synthesized at all. Because if the agencies themselves are interpreting the law differently, then no amount of executive expertise can reconcile their outputs. This is not a failure of the president. This is not a failure of advisors. This is not a failure of capability. This is a structural failure, a failure created upstream in statutory design. And SSD names this failure so it can be finally prevented. The structural silo doctrine reaches a conclusion that is both simple and transformative. Agency siloing is not a bureaucratic inconvenience. It is a constitutional safeguard. Silos protect the republic's structural integrity. They ensure mission clarity, so every agency knows its lane; lawful delegation, so Congress speaks with precision; executive supervision, so the president can see, decide, and act; national security coherence, so interagency signals align rather than collide; and continuity of government, so the executive remains functional under pressure. SSD does more than diagnose. It restores a truth that has been implied for two centuries but never formally articulated. National security is a derivative of constitutional security. If the Constitution's structural ordering fractures, if lines blur, if mandates fuse, if Congress drafts ambiguously, then no amount of capability at the agency or executive level can compensate. Because when constitutional structure destabilizes, national security destabilizes with it. SSD names this relationship, frames it, and codifies it so that lawmakers, agencies, and national security leaders can finally see the architecture that has always held the republic together. The structural silo doctrine is written for every institution responsible for the Republic's structural integrity. It speaks directly to congressional committees whose drafting choices determine whether agencies remain coherent or collide. The White House National Security Council, which must integrate signals across the entire executive branch under real-time pressure. Agency general counsels who interpret statutory boundaries and prevent unlawful mission drift. The Office of Legal Counsel, OLC, and OIRA, which safeguard constitutional structure through interpretive and regulatory review. Homeland Security and Continuity of Government directors, whose operational planning depends on predictable, unified federal architecture. Federal judges now navigating the post-Chevron landscape, who must assess statutory clarity and structural consequences under Article 1 and 2. State-level policymakers who experience the downstream effects of federal fragmentation, and scholars of constitutional law, administrative design, systems architecture, and governance theory, who study how complex republics remain coherent over time. SSD is not just a legal doctrine, it is a structural map, a way of seeing the federal government not as a collection of agencies, but as an engineered system whose stability depends on clearly defined boundaries. For anyone charged with protecting that stability, from Congress to courts to the executive, the structural silo doctrine provides the lens through which coherence can finally be understood, preserved, and strengthened. We live in an era defined by accelerating complexity and adversaries who no longer attack the United States through singular domains. Instead, they weaponize ambiguity. Modern threat architectures, from the China threat, unrestricted warfare, and the three warfares, to Russian active measures, information confrontation, and the Gerasimov nonlinear conflict model, all share a common strategic objective. Exploit structural weakness before kinetic conflict ever begins. And the most exploitable structural weakness in any republic is this: when its own laws create internal confusion. Cyber intrusions, hybrid financial warfare, space domain competition, biological risk, AI-enabled disinformation, decentralized digital architectures, every one of these pressure tests, not just our technology, but our structure. The structural silo doctrine draws a boundary that had gone unnamed but urgently needed articulation. The United States cannot defend itself if Congress drafts laws that break its own operating system. Statutory clarity is not merely legislative hygiene. It is national defense. And so this doctrine is not a critique of Congress. It is a restoration of the constitutional architecture that allows the republic to function under stress and to survive in the world that we now inhabit. This doctrine now stands beside the doctrine of anchor decentralization and the interagency integrity doctrine as part of a larger constitutional restoration project. A project designed not to reinvent the American Republic, but to realign it with its original structural logic. Together, these works form a single, unbroken thesis. A nation's security begins with its constitutional clarity. A government's continuity depends on its structural coherence. The structural silo doctrine is, at its core, a signal. A signal to Congress that legislative craftsmanship is not procedural housekeeping, it is national security architecture. A signal to agencies that mission boundaries are not obstacles to efficiency, they are constitutional safeguards. A signal to allies that the United States understands and is addressing the structural vulnerabilities adversaries have learned to exploit. And yes, a signal to adversaries that the era of unrecognized structural seams has ended. Clarity is strength. Structure is protection. And constitutional order is national security. This is the White Paper, and welcome to the Republic's Conscience.